Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is Pod Yourself a Gun, a Sopranos podcast where Vince and I and a guest go through every single episode of The Sopranos and talk about it. We are very excited this week to welcome our guest live from his own personal quarantine, Sean Keane. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm safe.
Yeah,
you know, I'm indoors,
inside and safe and fucking you're all toilet papered up.
You know, I just moved into a place and it's a different brand of toilet paper, but we definitely have some.
Oh, that's good.
Also, I feel like I'm pooping less during self-isolation. So, you know,
that is true. I feel like I've taken less shits as well. I don't really know why. I think it's because I usually like to let go. When I'm not hanging out with my girlfriend, like that's when I really like I save up the doo-doo.
Now you're all verklempt for him.
Yeah, and now I'm just like whenever I need to go, I'm like, sorry, babe, quarantine. and then I take a deuce. Anyways, we're very excited to have you on this episode of Pod Yourself a Gun. You are a Sopranos fan, right, Sean Keane?
Yeah, I recently, a big fan. I really like it. I wish I had more to say. I had recently, you know, in the last year, watched the end of it again.
Yeah, yeah.
So in part, it was kind of delightful to come back to season two.
It is kind of a perfect time, I think, you know, to sit and rewatch The Sopranos or watch The Sopranos for the first time. You know, because hey, we're in complete lockdown, COVID is destroying the world, and we might as well enjoy our last bits of humanity.
It's been almost exactly 20 years. We're releasing these almost like perfectly 20 years on the dot.
Oh yeah. And actually there's I think 9/11 happens between season 2 and season 3.
That's right.
So this I don't know. This is the real good sweet spot for season 2. I love Richie Aprile. Furio has arrived now and is just a great Matthew Bevilacqua being really stupid. it's fantastic.
I think it's this great. Really is like one of the most golden stretches of The Sopranos. It had really just come into its own at this stage of the series.
Yeah, yeah, completely, and especially regarding Matthew Bevilacqua and his hot weirdo partner. Like this is when you really start to they really pump up the idiocy of mobsters and people who are involved in the life this season. I mean, you know, there was always like Pauly, you know, being a dumbass and whatnot, but this season you really get to see all of the buffoonery that is involved in being, you know, mobbed up. So it's very exciting. But before we get into this particular episode, we would be remiss if we didn't play the theme song. You woke up this morning.
pod. 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 Podcast. Pod. 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 Podcast.
And that is just the best theme song anyone has ever made for any show. I wonder if at some point we're going to be asked to pay some sort of licensing.
No, that's fair use.
Yeah, that's fair use. That's fair use.
That's like dumb Starbucks on Nathan For You.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct. All right, so this week's episode, we are talking about from season 2, episode 6, The Happy Wanderer. Vince, you want to give us a little bit of that synopsis?
Yeah, so David Scatino, the father of Meadow's friend Eric and the owner of a local sports store, gets on the bad sides of both Richie and Tony when he loses big in 2 poker games. Paying his respects at a funeral, Tony is forced to deal with the presence of Livia.
Yeah, that is, now this is an episode that, when did it come out?
This came out February 20th, 2000, day before my birthday, no big deal. And we're going to take the Wayback Machine.
Ooh, let's go in the Wayback Machine, dude.
All the way back there, 20 years in about a month. Yeah, almost a month to the day, yeah. So I don't know how many months that is. I can't do math that fast.
Who cares?
Yeah, 241 months? Yeah, sure.
Why even try?
Yeah. So some of the headlines that were going on around the country at February 20th, 2000. Bush defeats McCain in the South Carolina primary.
Mm.
That's the one where he did the robocall. The Karl Rove did the robocalls with the...
Talking
about his illegitimate daughter.
Yeah.
The racist robocalls. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And it worked. Yeah. And that's how we got to where we are today. from the SF Examiner, priest admits touching boys.
Oh, here we go.
Also from the Bay Area, also from the San Francisco Examiner, Bay Area's unreal real estate market. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, am I right?
The more they stay the same, dude. Yep.
Those real estate prices are still high in the Bay Area.
Skyrocketing. Woo! Skyrocketing. Oh, boy.
I think this was the first dot-com bubble, has the second dot-com bubble burst officially, or did it just kind of deflate slightly?
I've literally no clue. At this point,
I guess everything's burst at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The stock market has crashed, for those of you who are listening. The stock market just keeps going down, and then it'll go up a little bit, and then it'll go down. It's like lost like 10,000 points in the last 2 weeks. I think that's bad, but at the same time, I own Yahoo stock, and I've just been kind of holding on to that to see what'll happen. It doesn't really affect me, I don't think.
Yahoo's insulated from this bear market.
Yeah, that's the thing, because
no one goes there anyway.
Yeah, so Yahoo's just going to be around, the more people go to it, the better, I guess, but it doesn't matter to me, dude. All I know is that Yahoo's going to make a comeback.
I'm glad the same people are in charge of running the economy as they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad we've learned nothing.
Weird habit that I must have developed when Yahoo first... I must have developed this like when the internet first came out. Like whenever I'm just testing the internet connection of a computer, I always go to Yahoo for whatever reason, just to see if the internet's working. And that's the only time I ever go to Yahoo. But consistently, I will... It's like calling popcorn or something.
I do the same thing, but also because I use Yahoo.com. But I do it. One of the reasons why it's helpful is because of the fact that Yahoo is such a bloated front page that, like, not only do you know if the internet is working, but you'll know whether or not it's working fast or slow, depending on how fast Yahoo.
Yeah, you know how fast Yahoo should be. So anyway, the top movies, February 20th, 2000. This was a President's Day weekend, so they released a whole bunch of new ones. In almost a dead heat at the top were The Whole Nine Yards.
Oh, yeah.
which we all remember, I'm sure. I won't say why.
Yeah, Amanda Peet's titties are in
there. Oh, okay. I mean, you're going to say why, but that works.
David Benioff's wife, please.
What, oh, really? Really? I didn't know that.
Well, he always talks about Amanda Peet at when he picks up undeserving Game of Thrones awards.
He's sure.
Like, my wife, Amanda Peet. Just so you know, Amanda Peet hitting that. You guys see?
Yeah.
Whole Nine Yards?
You seen Whole Nine Yards? Well, then you've seen my wife's tits.
Yeah. Hanging Up, Snow Day. Those were the top three. And then a couple million below that, there was Pitch Black, which I believe was Vin Diesel.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, that's the first Reddick movie.
That's right.
Reddick movie.
And the Tigger movie.
Yeah, that's right. I low-key remember a Tigger movie. What was Hanging Up?
I don't...
Oh, it's Lisa Kudrow, I believe, is in Hanging Up.
Damn.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. It's a comedy drama film about a trio of sisters who bond over the approaching death of their curmudgeonly father. The sisters... were Meg Ryan, Lisa Kudrow, and Diane Keaton, which they don't, that doesn't seem like, they don't seem
the
like
the right age.
No, yeah. But apparently, well, Diane Keaton directed, so I guess she gets to decide that.
Oh, that's crazy. She directed it, and she's like, you know what? I'm writing myself as younger.
Yeah. It's a Diane Keaton directed movie with a screenplay by Nora Ephron and Delia Ephron. So, you know.
Oh, damn.
There you go.
Well, we're going to have to check that out. What songs were happening around the time this episode was released, Vince?
Billboard's site is not working too well these days, but the number one song, which I know, is Thank God I Found You, Mariah Carey featuring Joe and 98 Degrees. I guess his name was just Joe.
Joe.
Was there a pop star that was just named Joe?
Apparently. He really, he really had delusions of grandeur there.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to be the only Joe in the game.
That's Joe's good. Enough.
Yeah, Joe's enough. I'm like Madonna, except I'm Joe.
He has a lot of songs on movie soundtracks from the late 90s.
That's his thing.
He's got a song from The Wood, got a song from Don't Be a Menace to South Central. He has got a song in Booty Call.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a specific niche.
Yeah, very specific niche. It was like mostly hood films, and then what First Wives Club or whatever the fuck this is.
True.
His
best selling album is called My Name Is Joe.
I see. Thank God I Found You is not a song from Hanging Up. I thought it was.
No, that would have been incredible.
It's a Mariah Carey song. Mariah Carey should have played one of the sisters, I think.
Yeah, that would have worked better.
Lisa Kudrow, Meg Ryan, and Mariah Carey. That's a movie.
But you know what, Vince? This isn't a Lisa Kudrow, Meg Ryan, and Mariah Carey podcast. This is a Sopranos podcast.
You're listening to Pod Yourself a Phoebe.
Uh-huh. So we watched this episode, The Happy Wanderer, and let's just kind of do a quick rundown of the Bada B stories. So we've got Meadow is checking out colleges. David Scantino wants to get in Tony's card game. Meadow wants to sing a solo on cabaret night. Tony has taken over Junior's game.
The executive card game, yeah.
The executive card game. Janice is slowly turning into Livia. And then Tony learns, and this is my favorite Bada B story, Tony learns he had a retarded uncle named Hercules.
Yes, incredible.
Does this predate the Nutty Professor, by the way?
It is after.
Oh, yes. It feels like they took a few liberties there.
Wait, but is that from Nutty Professor?
Hercules. And it was like the fat kid.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's pretty amazing too that Tony has a retarded brother who's also strong as an ox.
Yes.
And his name is Hercules Soprano.
Yeah.
What an amazing name.
Yeah, it's an amazing name, and also an unfortunate reveal for Tony, who, I mean, if he didn't already have enough low self-esteem about his perceived genetic defects, like now he's just like fucked up over it, which is, I think, is one of my favorite parts of this is that, like, it's not only that he didn't know this, but he has to like reckon with the fact that it's like the dude was special. Like,
yeah,
like he was special needs. And I did love that during that scene where Junior is revealing this to Tony. I think Tony calls him retarded, and then Junior actually gets offended. He's like, hey, watch your mouth, you know. Yeah. Which is, you know, good. Hashtag woke Junior is woke Junior sure. is my favorite Junior.
Look, he's an ally. He's sex positive.
He is sex positive. He eats pussy. He doesn't want you to say retarded. You know, there's probably other things that he does. He's okay with a woman, telling him what to do, vis-a-vis Olivia Soprano. You know, I think he's an ally. I think you're absolutely right.
Some general thoughts on this episode.
Sure.
I thought this was. I didn't feel like this had many weak moments. I don't think it necessarily had. Like the last two episodes, we had probably like the best Polly episode, and followed by the best Christopher episode. This one,
the episode before this one, is so good.
So good.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, one of my favorite. And for some reason, like I didn't remember this episode at all. But it's strong all the way through. It was great to see Robert Patrick in a non-molten metal role.
Was the thing. It was crazy because I was like, that's T-1000. And like, I'm stupid enough that every time he's on screen, I just go, that's T-1000. And like it took a few viewings before I realized what was going on in this episode with him, because I was just like, that's him.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think, and a lot of episodes do this well, but this one, I think it really does a great mix of Tony being a good boss, but also in an industry that's just like such a provincial, like penny scraping fucking small time hood kind of, like all of his, none of his rackets in this one are particularly sophisticated, and he's, you know, he's, it reminded me of Red, or not Red, Lefty in Donnie Brasco.
Sure.
You know, taking the screwdriver to the parking meter to get the pennies out.
Sure, sure.
He's kind of doing that to everyone around him in this episode.
And not just that, but like, so Chris Moltisanti has this great scene in the fish market.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he just puts a matchbook under the machine where the scale for the fish so that the fish will cost less. And it's just, it's an amazing scene because, you know, he probably gets maybe, you know, fucking 15%, 20% discount on that weight. And then he just makes Matthew Bevilacqua and his partner pay for it.
Yeah. It's just,
no, it's like, it's good on
stop.
It's good on every level, because it's like, he went into that scheme, you know, playing it off like he's going to use his wits to get one over on this guy. Yeah. So he puts the matchbook under there, and the guy immediately realizes it. So he has to basically threaten the guy. He goes into it being like, oh, I'm going to use my brain for this one. And then he basically has to extort the guy, and then he makes.
Yeah, right.
And it's to save, you know, probably like $1.50. And then he makes his underlings pay for it anyway. So
right. Just, that he's not even paying for.
it's an amazing episode in terms of every civilian that gets tangentially near the mob.
Yeah.
Just gets fucked.
Yeah. I mean, even including the card game where the executive game that Tony has taken over is populated with mobsters like Silvio, but then also Frank Sinatra Jr. for some reason. And then a doctor, a dick doctor, who they spend, you know, I would say most of the time playing poker, just doing wonderful little dick jokes with him. I have audio for... one of those. Vince, do you have that queued up?
Yep, I do. Hopefully you guys can hear it. I don't know what's happening with our sound, but here you go.
Hey, Dr. Freed, you know about that Viagra shit?
He won't quit this fucking guy.
Go ahead.
I heard they were sinking a crate of it down to the Titanic to try and raise it.
Very good, very good.
It's just like, wonderful joke, and also something that they all of the civilians, like you were saying, Sean, that get caught up in any proximity to the mafia end up being either screwed or scared to death. And it's really a great, great episode, just in terms of like kind of like the A story that's going on here. It does involve T-1000, who is playing David Scantino, who is a sports, you know, he's like a, what do you call it? Like a sports store?
He owns a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
Sporting goods store, and he is a degenerate gambler. And so he comes into the episode already owing Richie Aprile like $10,000. Or like 8,000, something like that.
Yeah, eight.
It's seven, and then he eight, I guess, at that poker game.
Yeah, and you know, he's trying to get the entire relationship that David Scantino has with Tony is based on kind of a remember when, like they went to school together, their kids go to school together, and you know, you can tell that just proximity to Tony Soprano and the ability to talk to him like he's just a guy rather than like a scary mob boss is something that excites David Scantino. But he's also uses it as a way to manipulate Tony into letting him feed his, you know, his gambling addiction. And yeah, it's kind of like the main plot point in the story, and kind of a really good one too. Really fantastic.
I like that element that David Scantino is like, the guy who was a high school star quarterback, but 20
yes.
years later.
Yeah.
And
yes.
it also fits in very nicely with, you can tell Tony is like friends with him because they're
right.
kids are friends, but also, you know, he has that underlying resentment because the thing Uncle Junior says that
yes.
drives Tony the craziest is, you never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So also, you can see the resentment for sure.
I also have this weird reaction to David Scantino in that, like, when I watched this when I was in high school, I probably would have seen that guy and been like, oh man, what a fucking loser. He was like a high school quarterback and now he runs a sporting goods store. And now
right.
I kind of watch it and I'm like, you know, that seems like a pretty good life, owning a
yeah,
sporting.
Yeah, like, damn, a sporting goods store.
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds like a real job where you like sell real things and
yeah, you sell
seems
real
like
things
a nice
that people
stable
want.
Living, and it's, you know, providing a service.
Yeah, no, you look at that now and you go like, you've got employees. Holy shit, you're fucking crushing it, dude. Which
I'm
is
just
why,
like, yeah. If somebody tried to like bust out me, if I own things, it's like, what would you get? Like some notebooks. Like,
yeah, I know. My PS4.
Dude, I had to pawn my Zoom recorder.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna give them like 20% of our Patreon money.
Yeah, it's like, like this guy's 401k is not doing well this week. We should actually.
Yeah. it is insane. It's just like the now I look at what adulthood is for people in the Sopranos universe, and hey, you know what? It makes me wish we could just kind of pivot into a life of crime. You know, at least we'd have fun.
Well, I also think that like owning a sporting goods store like isn't really a job anymore. Like, I don't think there is.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's no local sporting goods store near
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, everything's a chain, and it's probably, you know, probably has like shareholders somewhere else. Like, you might be like a general manager.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the thing. First, he gets busted out by the mob. Next, he gets busted out by Amazon.com. That's
yeah.
just,
oh man.
That's the way it goes. That's the real mafia is Jeff Bezos. You're the real gangster. Anyways, so yeah, in general, I also thought David Scantino's entire, I don't know, demeanor and whatnot, it kind of mirrored, this episode is called The Happy Wanderer, and you know, Tony is explaining to Dr. Melfi his issue with the Happy Wanderer in that, like, he basically can't stand the people who have no worries in their lives, and you know, they don't worry about money, they don't worry about anything, they just walk around whistling, and how he just wants to, you know, bust their faces open. And throughout this episode, you're seeing fucking David Scantino's reactions to losing money, like when he goes
right.
into the executive game and he you know, ends up losing I forget how much it was, 45 boxes of ZD,
yeah,
as they call it. And then Tony just, you know, goes and like looks at him, he's about to tell him like, hey, you've got to pay me, you know, this is how you're going to pay me, and David completely ignores the I guess, the gravity of the situation he's in. And it's just like, oh, man, oh, that sucks. I really got, you know, I thought I was doing pretty well there for a while, but I guess, blah, 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 you know, everything will be fine. How are your kids? And you could tell that, like, this is Tony looking at a happy wanderer. He's like, oh, this, you're not even going to be sad about this. You're not, you're just going to fucking, like, I wasn't sure if he was mad at him because he thought he knew he was being manipulated, or if he was mad at him because the guy truly seemed to not be worried about
it. Well, I also think it was part of it that Tony told him not to do this, like, at every single level. Like,
that's
at
true.
Every single stage, he was like, no, don't do, you don't want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was, I thought it was a good kind of, like, encapsulation of the happy wanderer, you know, like the fucking, the dude whistling down the street. Yeah. And that's how he saw, you know, his former high school friend, David Scatino.
And, like, going back to one of our frequent themes on this show, which is that, like, everybody on this show is a piece of shit.
Tits.
Which is,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
everyone on this show is a piece of shit and in just, like, their own perfect way, which is what I think, like, one of the main things that makes it so good. And just, like, to illustrate that, like, I think it's such a perfect scene when David Scatino goes home. It's my favorite scene in the episode, where he goes home and he, like, makes up a reason why he needs to take his son's truck. And
oh, yeah, that he went off-roading. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you went off-roading. That's why I'm taking your truck. So he goes and he takes the truck to Tony, like, after to pay off part of his gambling debt. And Tony is such a piece of shit that he doesn't he can't even take the SUV down to, like, the dealership and trade it in for something different. He fucking he gifts his daughter her, like, quasi boyfriend's fucking SUV that his degenerate dad gave him. And then so then Meadow gets it, and her first reaction is like, "Ugh, I knew it was going to be a car." And you're just kind of like, oh, you little bitch. You spoiled little bitch. You got a car. And the first thing is, well, of course I knew you were going to get me a car, Dad. And then there's, like, no good guy in that entire situation. Because, like, Meadow's being a spoiled brat. Uh-huh. Tony's a dumbass.
And she gets a solo because of it.
Right.
Which is what she wanted the whole time.
She ends up getting what she wants. That's the thing.
Everything she wants.
Yeah, it is. Quite incredible. And it's funny because there's a moment that happens where this is an interesting Meadow episode, because while
it's
isn't
a great,
like,
Meadow episode,
it's not focused on Meadow, I guess, in any way other than kind of, like, getting a little bit into Meadow's psyche and also into the world that she's in. Because, she really badly wants to get a solo on Cabaret Night, which is somehow going to help her get into college.
And by the way, what the fuck is Cabaret Night? So, like, they're not, it's not like a play. It's just, like, a night where they all sing different songs.
I guess. And what's even weirder to me is, like, wait, you, like, why does a solo matter? Like, you're singing a song with somebody. Somehow it's like, the fact that she has to sing a song with somebody.
My mother said, you got to give me a solo because otherwise I'm not going to get into Brown. I don't know why I went Boston there. But
She did Spider-Woman when she was a sophomore, guys.
She did Spider-Woman when she was a sophomore. Yeah, and it was just like, but now, you know, she has a chance to really shine and get into college with it. It's a very strange thing that she wants. And just in terms of ends up happening.
I'm Professor Reynolds with the Brown admissions department. I was going to admit this promising young girl, Meadow Soprano, you know, she's got great grades, high SATs.
But then she did a duet.
But
somebody playing guitar?
Someone was playing bass.
They have picked the perfect music too from this. I think this is a song from Miss Saigon.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
They just, like, they aim it just perfectly for what they'd be doing at this high school. as a veteran of many cabaret nights and musical theater myself.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. And then I think one of my favorite scenes in it, and I have some audio from it. It is a scene where Tony interrupts Meadow and David Scatino's kid. I think Eric is his name.
Yes.
Because they're, like, they're rehearsing during the middle of the day, and he basically is like, I'm trying to sleep. And then he's about to leave the room, and offhandedly she wants to tell him a bit of news. And so we have that audio.
Okay.
Oh, Aunt Barb called. Uncle Tom's father died.
Whoa. Tom Sr.? When?
I don't know.
Well, what the hell happened?
I don't know.
The guy's here almost every Christmas Eve. You don't ask? Somebody says Joe Blow died. No more people ask how. What happened? Jesus.
That whole scene felt very Italian to me. Like, you don't even ask how he died? Like, I don't know. Something about that rang true to my own experiences. Just being like, oh, you can't even care about your own family?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Yeah, that's true. There's part of it that goes like, are you supposed to ask how? But there's also the other part of it where it's just like, there is something you can tell that Tony is low key kind of horrified by the fact that her daughter's like, oh, by the way, this person who we've known for years and years is dead, just FYI. And then wants to go back to her thing. Like that is the kind of like coldness that he himself has inside of him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like seeing a glimpse of that from his beautiful daughter is like, kind of scares the shit out of me.
And it's like, and like, as we've said before, the entire theme of this series is, you know, these people trying to live their like movie conception of what being Italian is, where, you know, someone dies and you moan and you wail and you throw yourself at the casket and you fucking give each other, you know, envelopes full of cash. And then he's got this shitty little daughter who's just a 90s brat and doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty great. I thought like Meadow's entire arc in the episode is really, it's just really good. It's
incredible acting. Like
she does
that scene especially was amazing. Like her.
I have to say,
yeah.
On the rewatch, I didn't. I remember watching it the first time and being like, I don't know about these kids, and now I think they're really perfect.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I was very. Look, maybe he doesn't have the most dramatic range, but Robert Eyler is so good as just a shit. He's always wearing the right shitty outfit for the era too. Like he just makes the worst choices at every point.
Oh, he's such a perfect nu metal shithead. Yeah. And the worst part about it is like that kid essentially grew up to be Jared Kushner. Like we're living in a world run by fucking failed AJs. Like that's who's running the world right now.
A guy who couldn't quite make it as a party promoter.
Right.
Yeah.
He couldn't hack it.
I tried to get the
building the isn't he building the Corona vaccine? Isn't his company doing that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's currently trying to manufacture a bunch of ventilators.
If we manufacture the Corona vaccine, will you buy my dad's building, please?
Please. Yeah. Another thing in this episode that I personally loved, and it's my favorite scene in it, is like this is also the best Silvio I think we've gotten.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Furio, because the Furio was pretty great too. But yeah,
I actually disagree with that in terms of my least favorite and most of it. So my favorite scene is angry Silvio at the card game, and my least favorite scene is chill Furio at the hotel.
Oh no, I love that scene, because the thing about Furio is like he's the best gangster. Like he's actually like he does his job really well, and he's actually kind of fair. Like when that guy, when he's like trying to extort money from that guy, and the guy's like, so, what, I shouldn't profit from my work? And then Furio's
what, I
like,
shouldn't, I'm not going to make a nickel. Like there's,
yeah.
Like, but can then, I tell you the problem I have with the scene?
Well,
the problem
I have
with the scene is, well, it's not anti-Semitism. It's not that. It's what it is that every character in the scene, there are three characters in the scene, and I have audio from it, and we'll play it after I explain. Every character in the scene is an ethnic minority caricature.
Yeah.
To the point where I am just like, there's something about it just felt off. Everything about this scene felt off and unnecessary, and I felt like the acting was terrible and the writing. It was a weird outlier scene where you've got, you know, Furio is like, hey, you make the choice. This is the choice that you make. And then you've got the guy like, I should leave without a nickel. I think you. And then you got the black prostitute is like, oh, baby. Yeah, you know I sucked that dick good.
Yeah.
Huh, baby. And I'm like, what the is this a 70s porn? Just hey, play the audio.
I think, yeah, we can agree on the show's racial blind spots.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Here we go. Oh, wait, which one?
It is called the Matt's least favorite scene.
Oh, sorry, there we go.
We want the room with the stove and the refrigerator.
The efficiencies have been booked to paying customers. You people are ruining this place.
That's your father's fault. He made it a business deal. We want a lot of clean towels and the bedroom's fresh smelling.
I should work for nothing?
Dinaka, you ever suck his dick?
I make that beanie spin when I work his thing. Am I right?
Everything about that was terrible.
I don't disagree with what you said, but I do enjoy that Furio can like explain things in a parable. Like, no,
that's true.
You're wrong. This is why you should pay. And he's very clear. Whereas like Tony is never that articulate. And it's always
that's true.
And it always feels like a personal slight where like Furio goes in there and he's like, this is why the business works this way. Yeah.
Be mad. Your father made the business a deal. Like, it's just like, it's too, yeah, I don't know. I mean, personally, it was just one of those scenes that to me was there was too many caricatures and the acting was bad. And I was just like, and also it brings nothing. Like all it does is, you know, that, oh, this is where they're having the executive card game. That's all you learn.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even.
Well, I just thought of it as more like, this is more regular civilians getting worked by these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually didn't even put it together that was the location of the card game until just now.
Yeah, it serves no purpose. The scene serves no purpose. I just don't understand the existence of that scene.
I do think it comes off much more anti-Semitic in audio only form.
Oh, definitely.
What? No, I should actually, not run a business?
Yeah, yeah. Don't you know how business works? All right. But my favorite scene takes place during the executive card game. It is, and I have audio from it. It's a long clip, but it's like I've edited it down to just my favorite moment with. So Silvio is someone who keeps his cool all of the time in this entire series. The only time he doesn't is when he is losing at poker. And Matthew Bevilacqua randomly decides, because Tony actually tells him to clean up, like, to sweep up the mess around Silvio's chair, and then he loses his goddamn mind. So I have some audio from that.
What's the bet?
800.
The fuck could you possibly have?
Incredible luck.
You're telling me, you miserable fuck.
Bet or check?
Don't rush me, sunshine. You've been rushing me all fucking night.
Dealer controls the game.
Thank you. Do you fucking mind? Jesus, do you ever shut the fuck up and blow that fucking smoke somewhere else? What the fuck are you doing?
Sil, take it easy.
I'm losing my balls over here. This fucking moron's playing Hazel. Get the fuck out of here.
I was just trying to sweep the cheese away from
you. Why? Why now? Leave it there.
I don't know. I was just...
What? Where do you get these fucking idiots, huh? Where do you get them? He's sweeping the cheese. I'm trying to get leave the fucking cheese there, all right? I love fucking cheese at my feet. I stick motherfucking provolone in my socks at night so they smell like your sister's crotch in the morning, all right? So leave the fucking cock-sucking cheese where it is. 800.
Call.
That is a perfect segment in that, like, from the start to finish, like, 800, and then it's his process of deciding whether or not he wants to call the bet or fold.
Right.
And it's like, while his process of deciding is yell at everyone and then shit on Matthew Bevilacqua for trying to sweep the cheese from under his feet.
I mean, that was a great scene, but it also feels heavily influenced by I'm All Right, Spider.
It does, but at the same time, I feel like it's, I don't know, it's, to me, it's a more real, less romanticized version of it.
Yeah,
this is why I love The Sopranos, because it's not Goodfellas. It's fucking, he's just yelling at a dude who's sweeping cheese.
Right. And I also think what this episode does really beautifully is it shows like the rationalization process when you are like a slime ball and or a grifter. Like the way that you rationalize, you know, being a predatory mobster is that most of the people that you prey on are bigger pieces of shit than you are. So,
right.
Like, Tony can rationalize his entire thing because, like, he keeps telling David Scatino, like, he keeps advising him not to do the thing that he's going to do, and the guy fucking does it anyway, and he's like, I don't know, what do you want me to do? Like, this guy's a piece of shit, so I had to treat him like one.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that is the way that almost everyone in a predatory business works.
And he even rationalizes it to his daughter, to Meadow, when Meadow is like horrified that he just basically took her best friend's dad's car, you know, or her best friend's car, actually.
It's his car. Yeah.
Yeah. And like he just says to her straight up, like, you know, a man made a wager. He lost.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he's a grown man, that he's like, I'm not taking advantage of children here. I'm taking advantage of grown men. Like, there is a way that he could rationalize his entire lifestyle. But it is, he is not wrong.
Yeah, well, and the ultimate takeaway from that for Meadow is that she got what she wanted all along. So, through this entire interaction, like, her takeaway isn't that my father's a piece of shit, I don't ever want to be like him. Her takeaway is like, well, you know, sometimes you gotta fuck people over to get what you want.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she complains the whole time, even though she is getting exactly what she wants. Also, the other thing about the part about the solo is going to help Meadow get into college. Eric's not going to college anymore.
Yeah. It's pretty clear that any college fund that he has has been going to be milked dry by Tony. And it is crazy the amount of wreckage.
You can just see him putting stickers on Nike boxes, like muttering, I got into Brown.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about David Scatino just losing that $45,000 anyway is that he lost most of it to Silvio anyway.
Yeah.
Tony took a cut of the rake.
Yes.
So it's just like,
It's literally like because it doesn't matter what the realities of like putting money in one pocket, taking money from one pocket and putting it into another.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. What matters is that a grown man made a wager and he lost.
Like look, I got these free motel rooms in this discounted fish.
Yeah.
So I deserve, you know, $100,000 from this poker game.
It's so true. It's like free motel rooms, discount fish through a grift, and he's like, unbelievable that you would that you would bet this much of my money back to me.
And then it's
all for the privilege. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Let's not forget like the scene where, you know, they're counting their money in their fucking shitty hotel room where hookers usually go with their feet up on the desk being like, did you ever think that we would be the kings of the world like this?
Yeah, it's the executive game.
Yeah.
I think that's the other purpose of the ethnic stereotype roundup scene. Just to be like, let's just remind you of how shitty this location is.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right that it is. It's to point out that like this is not a fine establishment. This is the best you can do in Jersey. You know, and so that is fair as with regards to that being useless scene.
Who do you think the Frank Sinatra Jr. of 2020 would be?
Oh God, that's such, because we're talking about Italian. It would still be an
just
Italian,
like Italian pseudo celebrity, like a Jersey, like a big time Jersey celebrity. Like
it'd have
D-list.
To be the situation. Who's I don't know who else is there. There's like the situation is the most famous recent Italian American trash person that I know. But is there like is there like an Italian American singer that's out right now?
I don't know. Frankie Valli Jr. Yeah, no, because that's too close. But
yeah, it's hard to say. But you know, if it were 10 years ago, I would have said the situation. If it was, I don't know, this year.
No, I think the situation is pretty dead on. Because if it was like 10 years ago, it would have had to be like the Situation Jr.
That's right. Like, he would be too famous.
Yeah,
he'd be too famous. Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I also love that the you know, the people who can afford this game are Frank Sinatra Jr. and a dick doctor.
You know who should be? It should be fucking Kevin Smith's daughter.
Who the fuck is Kevin Smith's daughter?
I don't know, but he's a Jersey luminary.
Yeah.
Like he's like the modern day you know, Jersey boy made good.
Honestly, if we're talking real life, who would be in a new Jersey executive poker game? It would be some side character from The Sopranos.
Yeah,
it would be like,
yeah, it would be Steve. It would be the guy who plays Bobby Bacala.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah,
Zierfer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or it'd be whoever plays Vito Spadafore.
Hey,
I think we got the queer from Sopranos here.
I think this is his first episode. Actually,
it is. Well, it's his first. It's his second episode, but his first episode he was playing somebody else.
Was Vito Spadafore in this episode?
He was, as Vito Spadafore.
Where was he? I didn't know.
He was in the card game.
Yeah.
He was
in
the card
game.
Yeah,
not the executive game, the first card game.
Oh, the one with Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually, yeah, it's Joseph Ganascoli, and he appeared in The Legend of Tennessee Moltisanti as Gino. That was our episode with LP.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that was the first. That's where he just decided I love that they brought him back. I love that they were like, this guy's good. He's got something. There's something to his face and his roundness. He should be a gangster, not just some guy in a fucking pastry shop. Another thing in this episode, and I have some audio from this as well. I loved hearing Tony's explanation about the happy wanderer and what makes him mad about it. But the audio that I got, and I have part one and part two, the audio I have is, to me, I more so than anything love that in trying to explain it, he just threatens her. And then when she asks him to expand on the threats, he takes that as a threat.
And he kind of keeps doubling down on the threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While explaining it's not really a threat, but
yeah,
really like it if this threat was real.
And every time she brings it up, he's like, oh, women. Why do women?
like you asked me how I was doing. I said I wanted to kick your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you being so sensitive?
Exactly. It is. It's fantastic. I have some of the audio.
Do you want to tell me what you're thinking?
Believe me, you don't want to know. You want to know what I'm thinking? Seriously?
Hold on, can you pause it?
I'm thinking I'd like to take a...
That's the question that leads to this.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? And then he goes, believe me, you don't want to know what I'm thinking. And then there's a long pause and he goes, you don't want to know what I'm thinking? Which I love it because like, clearly he really wants to say what he's thinking. And like the fact that he gets mad about it. I'm sorry, keep going.
Well, also, by the way, this is like he just got back into therapy.
Yeah, right. Like she just allowed him back.
First half of the season, he's not. She's like, I really don't like this. And then, hey, we starting up again? Oh, I want to kick them. I want to beat the shit out of you.
Why are you on a
go brick and smash your fucking face in a fucking hamburger?
Okay.
I'm not. Don't worry. You asked, I told.
But you'd like to smash my face.
not really. It's just a way of describing how I'm feeling.
Do you think making hamburger out of me would make you feel better?
Mother of Christ, is this a woman thing? You ask me how I'm feeling. I tell you how I'm feeling. And now you're going to torture me with it.
Is that the whole clip?
That's part one. You want to go to part two?
Okay, now play part two. I'd just like to hear the rest.
It's everything and everybody. I see some guy walking down the street, you know, with a clear head. You know the type. He's always fucking whistling, like the happy fucking wanderer. And I just want to go up to him, and I just want to rip his throat open. I want to fucking grab him and pummel him right there for no reason. Why should I give a shit if a guy's got a clear head? I should say, Asalut, good for you.
Let's get back to smashing my face.
Jesus Christ. Oh!
I love it so
much. Again with my shrink trying to make me explain my feelings.
God. Hey, you know I broke your coffee table in a rage, but yeah. God, why are you overreacting?
It's like in the room when... The scene in the room where Tommy Wiseau is talking to Peter and he goes, but you're a psychologist. Don't you have some advice? And then like 5 minutes later, Peter is like saying something like giving advice about something. And Tommy goes, you're always playing psychologist with us. It's like, bro, you are talking to your shrink right now and you're mad at her for trying to do her job about you saying you wanted to beat her to death and make her face into a hamburger. It is, it's very wonderful. And it also, it gives a great explanation into the theme of this episode. And I gotta say, in a lot of, you know, episodes of The Sopranos, you know, you've got a title and sometimes the title's good, sometimes the title's bad. And this one, the title really, I really love it because of the fact that it does explain exactly who Tony despises the most, and not just in this episode but in the entire series. It's anyone who is expressing either joy or tranquility, anyone who like doesn't wear their stress on their face. Like, it's one of the reasons he hates Janice. Like, one of the big reasons he hates Janice is because Janice never felt any pressure to, like, be with the family, help them out, especially when times got hard, and just, it, like, kind of floats through life, not giving a shit. It's one of the reasons he kind of hates AJ. Like, it's like, everyone he hates can be described as a happy wanderer, and it was nice to kind of have that spelled out in this episode.
Yeah. Also, like, do we want to talk about the biggest, I mean, other than Hercules, there was also the reveal that Livia may have been holding out money this entire time.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. That it was, it didn't really go, I didn't see it go anywhere in this episode other than just the explanation of the fact that Livia was holding
well, both
more money.
Janice and Uncle Junior are implying that Livia's got a big nest egg that she has not revealed yet.
Right. And we know that Janice is after that nest egg. We've seen her digging. And I didn't get much from that other than kind of what I already knew, which was the fact that, like, you know, at least Livia has implied that there's some money somewhere. But what I did enjoy, speaking of Livia's presence in the episode, was the fact that Janice is kind of taking a sort of Livia role with Richie Aprile.
Yeah.
There's
and just being the worst in general.
Well, being the worst, but also like trying to, you know, trying to poison him against Tony so that she can, you know, basically just so she can get some money. I think Livia was poisoning Junior against Tony so that because she's an asshole who wants to kill her children. But I think Janice was doing it just to fucking so she could be dating someone who was big in the mafia.
Well, yeah, she just seems like generally like the kind of person who would goad her boyfriend into getting in a fight that he loses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's definitely the type of person who, like, if someone spilled a drink on her at a bar, she would be like, I'm going to get my boyfriend to come in here and kick your ass. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. And like, if the boyfriend didn't want to, it'd be like, pussy.
Yeah. Yeah. You call yourself a man.
Yeah. You know, man. But she said some shit in this episode to Richie that's fantastic. And one of the things was she's explaining that the amount of money that he got to go back out on the street was like $40,000 or $45,000.
$50,000.
And then Janice was saying that's the exact same amount that everyone gets when they come out of prison. And that was like back in the 70s. And, you know, she's basically trying to do, well, with inflation, this comes out to $500,000. And
back of the envelope calculation there.
Yeah. And then she just says to him, you know, $50,000, mailmen make more than that. And it's just like the ability that she and Livia have to just tear someone down to a degree where their like masculinity is just, I mean, they've
while
just
also shitting on a third party that,
yeah,
like if a mailman's nearby, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, hey, I make an honest living here. Yeah. I'm losing my balls here. That's I just love that line so much. Yeah, so that was interesting. And, you know, we're going to see more of what's happening with Janice and Richie's delightful relationship as the season wears on. I think in terms of the segment, it's the 90s. All we really got was at one point, Polly says, can I get AIDS from you?
No, that's from the last episode.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, well, let's delete that.
Oh, but you got Wayo. I was wondering about that, too.
Yeah, so now it's time for our segment, Gabavafangul, in which we say what kind of Italian-American words we found. The only one I got was at one point, Tony says to David Scatino, hey, let's go back in. They're at a college doing a tour. Let's go back in and see what else that Wayo says, talking about a professor. Apparently, Wayo means boy, and we have a little bit of Stevie B to explain Wayo.
Sorry, queuing that up.
Cue it up.
It's queued. There we go. God.
Is this a master class?
Okay, here we go.
Hey, how you all doing? I'm Stevie B, and the Italian-American slang word of the day is Wayo. Wayo. When I was a kid, and I would act up, my pops would come in dangerously close, give me that look and say, you better take it down a notch, Wayo. Medigan. When I was a rambunctious young lad, every once in a while, my father would step in close to my proximity, give me quite a stern look and say, you best calm down, boy. Wayo. And remember, sharing is caring.
Thank you, Stevie B, for Wayo. That was amazing. You know, it's like every other episode, I find one of these like Italian-American slang words, and every other one of them, Stevie B has an explanation. And yeah. I got to say, shout out to Stevie B. I hope you're still alive.
I hope he's staying safe during the COVID-19 quarantine.
Yeah, I hope you are staying safe in whatever place in, let's be honest, probably New Jersey you're at
probably
right
New
now.
Jersey, yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly like Eastern Philadelphia.
Yeah, possibly Eastern Philadelphia.
Could be Long
Island. You know, yeah. Could be, but let's be real. New Jersey, stay safe out there. All right. I guess, what do we say? We got any final thoughts in this episode?
I thought it was a great episode. No weak moments for me.
Yeah, I only had the one weak one. What about you, Sean? You got any favorite parts, weakest parts?
You know, I love Frank Sinatra Jr. in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I really like every time that Sean and Matt try to suck up to Tony.
Yeah,
there's a moment where they go up to him and say T, and he immediately says Tony.
Yeah, like, I love
like,
that. Too.
Like, I hate you. I hate you.
Yes. He also, at one point, I think it was Chris Moltisanti says, he's like talking about someone, you know, call him Bob or whatever. And then Sean is like, is that Bob from Long Island or something like that? And he's like, yeah, do you know him? He's like, no. And he's like, then let me finish the fucking story. Yeah. He just like these guys, like to them, mafia dudes that they like slightly know are basically like, you know, it's like trading cards. Like they're not in that life fully. So to them, they're just excited that, you know, he's telling a story about a guy I know. It's like from like a podcast extended universe is what I like to think. Yeah. You think there's a podcast that's just actual mobsters talking about mob business? Probably
gotta
not.
Be. It's gotta be. I think that's what they're all doing now. That's the new racket. It's podcast.
The new racket is podcast. Use promo code Vafunko. Yeah.
Did you guys like Frank Sinatra Jr.'s acting?
You know, here was the thing. I thought that Frank Sinatra Jr., when I saw him, I was just like, you know, he kind of looks like Frank Sinatra. I wonder if that's actually Frank Sinatra Jr. Yeah. Turns out that is actually him.
Sure.
And, so I was impressed with it because I thought it was an actor playing Frank Sinatra Jr. Because let's be honest, I don't know what the fuck Frank Sinatra Jr. looks like. Kind of looks like Frank Sinatra.
Kind of looks a lot like Frank Sinatra. Did they call him Chair Boy of the Board?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That
yeah, they did.
It's like the perfect, like, kind of funny, insulting, but also like total dad joke.
Yes, yeah.
For this.
That is another
the
segment.
Height of humor for the Soprano crew.
It's another segment that we have on the show called Dad Jokes, and that was one of them. And the other one to me was dropping a shipment of Viagra in the sea to try to raise the Titanic.
Yep.
You know, these are jokes. What I love about the Sopranos' relationship to dad jokes is how excited they are to tell them.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Like it's what makes them dad jokes, because they're not just jokes. They're like, oh, wait till you hear this one.
You also get to see, I feel like my about the dad jokes watching season two, you realize one of the reasons Tony has such a hard time recognizing what's going on with Pussy.
Yeah.
Is that Pussy's the only one that gets the closest to being legitimately funny and yeah. witty, because yeah. otherwise he's just talking to Polly and Christopher all day, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. And finally, the other thing that I like in this episode is, nope, that's it. That's the
whole
thing.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going with that. I was like, I feel like we were putting it to bed there, but okay.
Yeah, yes. we were putting it to bed.
Matt had a false misdirect there.
I had a false misdirect.
Or a real misdirect. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, it was like favorite scene, least favorite scene was David listening to the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that.
Well, yeah.
Like we were saying, the musical choices in this were so perfectly on brand, and that guy.
Yeah.
He very much seems like what the dude is pissed off when he's thinking about why he hates the Eagles. It's
yeah,
this
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. He just hates David Scatino. All right. Well, all in all, I would say this is a fantastic episode of The Sopranos, barring that one scene I didn't like.
Solid
and
B plus.
Another solid B plus. Another fantastic yeah. episode of Pod Yourself a Gun. Sean Keane, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you? We know you do a regular NBA podcast called Round Rock Pod.
Rock. Yeah, you can check that out at Round Rock Pod, patreon.com/Round Rock Pod. Also, I've got two pieces on Yardbarker this
Ooh.
Week. Site. One's about Vince Carter being a Hall of Famer, and the other one's about my proposal that because of the virus and for just good reasons, the NBA should just start every year on Christmas Day.
Oh, interesting. Just start on Christmas.
Kick off on Christmas Day, dodge the NFL, play the finals in August.
Yeah.
Then Vegas Summer League would be like a more reasonable temperature.
Yeah.
I just think it works well.
It does work well. You know what? I love that idea. And Christmas is a great time to start. It's a beautiful time. So, yeah, check out Round Ball Rock with Sean Keane and Joey Devine. Email us if you have any questions, comments, concerns at fraudcast@gmail.com. You might be saying, why don't you do a pot yourself a gun at Gmail? Because we don't fucking want to. Fraudcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/fraudcast for your bonus episodes of the Fraudcast, a different podcast, which we've been doing for longer. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, don't stop believing.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'll send you. Is there a format that this is preferred in? Okay. Wave, MP3, FLAC, whatever you want. Probably just a WAV file. Okay. Okay. Great. And who should I send it to? Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, tight. Okay. I'll send this to you right now. Yeah, good job. Oh, thanks for having me. Good luck with the homeschooling and the isolation. Yeah, I think I'm not going to go to the grocery store for a couple days, actually. I'm just going to wait. Oh, shit. All right, I like that. Yeah, otherwise you're a goner. All right. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.